Thank you very much for coming. Good moed. And may we merit that our learning should be a schlus lili nishmas. Me'irachaya nechama bracha lea shalom. Vastav and Mordechai, Katie Fischel of blessed memory. We are on Dav Vav Amud Beis in Masechet Bechoros, dealing with the topic of freaks. What happens when you have a horse that gives birth to a donkey? Or a donkey that gives birth to a horse? A sheep that gives birth to a goat? A goat that gives birth to a sheep? So the Mishnah said these things don't have, the Tanakhama holds these things don't have Bechor. In addition, according to the Tanakhama, these things, in terms of their kashrus, depends on their mother. Yotzei min hatzah hartzar, yotzei min hatzah meitzameh. We saw yesterday the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon disagrees that based on the pasuk saying gamal gamal, that's the fact that it says twice the prohibition of gamal of a camel. That's to say, number one, a camel's prohibited, a normal camel, but also the camel, the child of a cow, is also prohibited. That's why it said gamal twice. Apparently, Chacham doesn't understand gamal gamal for something else. The Gemara says they understand it to be referring to milk, that the milk of a camel is also prohibited. Okay, so we are 5 lines on the bottom on Vav Amud Beis here in Meseches Bechoros. Tanu Rabban, and our sages taught us in a brisa, Rachel sheyelda min Eiz, a sheep that gives birth to a goat. Ve'eiz sheyelda min Rachel, or a goat that gives birth to a sheep, p'turim min ha-bechor, then there's no law of Bechor. However, v'im yesh bo mikta simanim, if it has certain aspects, signs, that this goat child of sheep looks like a sheep too, has certain aspects that are of a sheep, then it is obligated in Bechor. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, not enough to have just some similarities. It'll have to have the head and most of it like its mother. So if the head of this goat child of sheep looks like a sheep, and the body, the most of the body of this goat looks like a sheep, but I don't know, the legs don't look like a sheep, the tail is not like a sheep, then it's obligated in Bechor, according to Rabbi Shimon. But if it's not the head in the majority, then it's not obligated in Bechor. Now, Iboilu, let's ask a question. Le'achila, what about in regards to eating? In regards to eating, does Rabbi Shimon hold the same? Iboilu, Rabbi Shimon, Rosh Avaruba, Olo. Does Rabbi Shimon also say you need to have the head in the majority being like the mother for it to be permitted to be eaten or not? In other words, Linyan Bechor Raksiv, in regards to Bechor, the Pasuk is, as we learned from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it says, Ach Bechor Shor. Could have said, Ach Shor. Since it said, Ach Bechor Shor, that's to say, Achi Ehu Shor Bechor Shor. It has to be a cow, and it has to be an ox, and its Bechor has to be an ox. Aval Achila, but in regards to eating, Gamul Huda Amarachman Adasir, Hashem says if it's a camel, it's not allowed. Ha ishtani mi gamul, but if it's different from being a camel because it looks like its mother a little bit, Shapir Dami, then according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be fine. Maybe Rabbi Shimon does make a distinction, Loshna. And the same way he said in regards to Bechor, the only way the freak has the law of Bechor is if the freak is in its majority like the mother. So too, in regards to eating, you would only allow it if in its majority it's like the mother, not if it's just like the mother in certain aspects. Tashma, come and hear proof from a brisa. The brisa taught, behema tohor, if you have a kosher animal, sheyoldam in behema tmeya, gives birth to a non-kosher animal. Okay, so let's say a cow gives birth to a horse. Aser b'achili, you're not allowed to eat this horse, child of the cow. Vim domaroshev ruba li'imo, but if the head of the cat, the horse child of cow, and the majority of the body of the horse child of cow looks like a cow, then it's obligated in the laws of Bechor. Shema Minasa, what do you see? La'achila nami by Rabbi Shimon Rosh Avarubo. You see that in terms of eating too, Rabbi Shimon requires the head and the majority being similar to the mother for it to be able to be eaten. Well, maybe not. Lebechora dafka. Maybe in regards to Bechora, and he was precise, only in regards to Bechora, is it that Rabbi Shimon says you only have the law of Bechor if the majority, if the head and the majority are like the mother. Dekanami, we can also approve this. Dekashavka, le'achila, because, and the Braisa began by talking about eating. The Braisa begins by saying, Behema Torah Sheldim in Behema Tzmei, a kosher animal that gives birth to a non-kosher animal, namely a cow giving birth to a horse. Aser ba'achila, you can't eat that horse. So it starts with talking about eating. But it doesn't go on to say, Im doma rosha v'ruba li'imo muter ba'achila. And if the head and the majority of the body look like the mother, you could eat it. It said, if the head and the majority of the body look like the mother, then chai b'bechora. Right? So it started off talking about eating, and then become liya b'chora. Then it starts talking about the laws of firstbornhood. Shemamina, so you see, l'b'choru d'b'ayin r'b'shimon rosha v'ruba. In regards to firstbornhood, that's where Rabbi Shimon says that if the head and the majority are like the mother, then it has the law of Bechor. Avalachila, but in regards to eating, lo, here he didn't talk about head and the majority of the being like the mother, because apparently you don't need head and the majority for eating. In regards to eating, all you need is some simanim. As long as there are some characteristics of this horse that are like a cow, then already you could eat it. That's the way to read the brises. Someone said, maybe not. No. Lo, la, maybe. Emel Chal tell you. Achila nami boy. Even in regards to eating, maybe Rabbi Shimon requires that the head and the majority of the body be like the mother for it to be able to be eaten. Why did he suddenly switch to talk about Bechora? He started off talking about eating. He said, if the cow gives birth to a horse, you're not allowed to eat it. So to keep talking about eating and say, but if the horse, child of cow, is head and majority like the cow, you should be able to eat. So why did he switch to Bechora? Because Bechora, it's Trichalei. There is something that he needs to tell you about the law of Bechor. Sakadatach, I mean, we thought to say, ho, Luksiv, since it says, Ach Bechor Shor, again, could have said Ach Shor, since it's Bechor Shor. So that tells me that just like the mother is a Shor, the Bechor has to be a Shor. I would think, Achi, Hu Shor U Bechoro Shor, maybe in Bechora, that the mother has to be a Shor, and the child has to be a Shor, it has to be totally a Shor. V'lo Tizgilei Berosh V'Rubo. And maybe the head and most of the body looking like the mother is not enough. And Adi Kakule. And the only time there'd be a law of Bechor is if the mother's a cow and the entirety of the child is a cow. Not that the majority of the child is a cow and the minority a horse. It totally is a cow. So that's a Kamashwan, that's the Chiddush. That for Bechora, even though it says Ach Bechor Shor, nevertheless, if the majority of this horse, child of the cow, is like the cow, there's still a law of Bechor. But the same is true in regards to eating. If the majority of this horse, child of cow, is like the cow, then you could eat it. But if you only had simanim, you just have some aspects of this child, horse, child of cow, looking like the cow, then there would be no law of eating it.
Rabbi, how can we ignore the biblical obligation for the split hooves and chewing the cud? It seems that that's like the obvious test for if we can eat or not, eat this animal.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful question. So this, you're getting into a big discussion. That is, the analysts of Jewish law say we have two ways of understanding split hooves and chewing its cud. Is it that the split hooves and chewing its cud is the reason why something becomes kosher? What makes it kosher is that it has split hooves and chewing its cud. That's what God chose. Or maybe there's certain types of creatures that are kosher. And how do you know what type of creature is the kosher one? God says you know which creature is the kosher one if it's something with split hooves and chewing its cud. So that this law, or remember, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with this law, right? But according to the law of our Mishnah, the view of our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah seems to think, that's the way many analysts suggest, that really what makes something kosher is certain types. Certain creatures are kosher creatures. The sign that it is that creature is that it has split hooves and chews its cud. And if its mother had split hooves and chews its cud, then you know it's that creature. So therefore, if you have a cow giving birth to a horse, this horse, even though it doesn't have split hooves and chews its cud, you know that the creature is a cow. It comes from a cow. That's its genetic makeup. So since it's a cow, it's kosher. Because what makes it kosher is the type of creature, not so much the splitting hooves and chewing its cud. Yes.
That's a, we hold that way.
Yeah, we don't agree with Rabbi Shimon.
Wow. It's just thing like this about fish too?
One second. Do we hold this way? Let me check. I'm pretty sure we hold this way.
That's as long as the two parents are kosher.
Both parents are kosher. We're going to get into that now, but
a cow and an ox, and you got a donkey. The donkey would be kosher.
We're not talking about the whole time, or the brothers of the other animal. Where it
looks no, till now we've been talking about both parents are cows.
It just happens to look this way.
Got it's it. A freak. We call it a freak. It's not a genetic. It's not a hybrid.
So why did Mara use it?
The difference.
So one second here. If a kosher animal gives birth to a non-kosher animal, even though this child does not have split hooves and doesn't chew its cud, it looks like a horse or a donkey coming out of the cow, you are allowed to eat it. Is it true if the animal gives birth to an animal? It's not true if the animal gives birth to a bird.
Yeah, we had that in Chulin.
Exactly.
It could mut you now.
Exactly. Okay, but now we're going back into the views of Rabbi Shimon. According to the views of Rabbi Shimon, we said that a horse that's the child of a cow is not allowed. So now we're saying, even though the horse that's the child of a cow is not allowed, so what about in regard if you have a horse child of a cow that has some simanim like the cow? Okay, Tashma, come in here, a proof. Again, about Rabbi Shimon. The pasuk says, "Ach ezelo tochlu," but this you shall not eat. Mima alei ageira mafrisei parsa, from what chews its cud, and which has split hooves. So that's a strange thing, right? Normally, chewing its cud and splitting hooves is what makes it kosher. So why does it say this is what you can't eat? So we explain in this brisa, "Ze iata ochel." If you have a camel, you can't eat it. Even if it comes from a cow. Avalata ochel abba besimen echad. But you could eat a camel that has one aspect that it's like its mother, the cow. It doesn't chew its cud. It doesn't have split hooves. But it has some aspect to being like its mother. So eza ze abba besimen echad. What's this law of which is the camel with a single aspect like its mother that you could eat? Let's say you have a camel born from a cow. The iburo minatar. And not only was this camel born from the cow was the mother, and there was a cow as the father. So the cow with the mother and cow as the father giving birth to a camel. As long as this camel has some aspect like the cow, you can eat it. But maybe even if the mother is, I'm sorry, maybe the father is a camel. Let's say a camel impregnates a cow. And then you have a child looking like a camel. Tamaloma, that's what the verse goes on to say. Zosa beima asher tochil, this is what you shall eat. Shor, an ox, sech savim, a sheep, the seizim, and goats. So since the Torah said sek savim and set izim, a sheep of sheep, a sheep of goats, not a sheep of a goat, not a sheep of a single sheep, a sheep of goats. Aviv keves vimo kevsa. That means that the father has to be a sheep and the mother a sheep, and the father has to be a goat and the mother a goat. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. This is the view of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, according to you, the verse is only permitting a child of two cows or a child of two sheep. Rabbi Elazar Omer says, no. Lo ba'kas of lahatir es hamuter. The verse is not needed to permit that which already by logic I would permit. El lahosav al hamuter. But the verse is coming to tell me something else that I wouldn't have thought logically is permitted is also permitted. So what is the verse coming to tell me is permitted? Tamei anolad min atar. If you have a horse born from a cow, v'iburo min atamei, and the father is also a horse. The father was a horse. And that's permitted. O eino el iburo min atar. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right, Rabbi Yoshua, that you need the father to be kosher. Tamlama, that's what the verse says. Shor, seksavim v'seizim, mikol makom. The fact that it said seh, right, it said seksavim, that's to say that if you have a lamb from sheep, no matter how it is from sheep, yeah, it is permitted.
So instead, continue going by the mother.
Mm-hmm. It's permitted. Now, Rabbi Yoshua, Kari Lei, Tame. Rabbi Yoshua says that this creature born of two sheep, right, is, he calls it a Tame. The beginning of the Brisa was Eze. Right, he calls it a tame. So a tame meaning he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not kosher a horse from cows. V'kamar, nevertheless he says, but you can eat it with one simen. So that sounds that according to Rabbi Shimon, in regards to eating the horse from cows, you don't need that the head in the majority should look like the cow, which is the case in regards to pidyon peter chamor. But all you need is one simen. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. Hi Tana, maybe Rabbi Yeshua, Savla Kabasi Bechada. It was like Rabbi Shimon, that a horse, the child of cows, can't be eaten. Upaligale Bechada. But he disagrees. Maybe he holds that one simen is enough to make it permitted to be eaten, one simen like its mother. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. And maybe Rabbi Shimon holds you need a majority, the head of the majority. So you don't have a proof here for the view of what is the view of Rabbi Shimon. There are those, the way they presented this was that they asked a question from the Braisa, and then they tried to resolve the question. So they said like this, how did Rabbi Yeshua say in the Braisa, maybe it's referring to being born from a non-kosher father. So as the Gemara, understand, Mimi Abra, how could you have a horse impregnating a cow? Cows don't become impregnated by horses, and horses can't be impregnated by cows. You can't impregnate a cow from a goat or from a sheep. Or a sheep from a cow. A wild animal can't impregnate a domesticated animal. Nor can a domesticated animal do it to a wild animal. Except for Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, they disagree with this. So they believe that it is possible. Because they used to say that you could have a wild animal becoming impregnated from a domesticated animal. So you see that it's not even possible to have a kosher animal making a non-kosher animal pregnant, or a non-kosher animal making a kosher animal pregnant. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what does Rabbi Yeshua mean when he says Iburo Menatame? What it means is that that this cow was impregnated from another cow, but that other cow didn't have split hooves; it had connected hooves, because that other cow was a freak. In other words, you have two cows; they give birth to a freak. This freak doesn't have split hooves; it's a cow, but it doesn't have split hooves. And this cow without split hooves now impregnates another cow. And now this is basically a cow. So because it's basically a cow, because it comes from cows, it can impregnate cows. Rabbi Shimon Kamar. Now, Rabbi Shimon's the only one who holds that a cow with split, a cow born from other cows could be non-kosher. Rabbi Shimon says, we look at the child, not at where the mother was. Right? Rabbi Shimon says if you have cows giving birth to a camel, the camel's not kosher. So he's going to also say if you have two cows giving birth to a cow without split hooves, it's not going to be kosher. So here he's saying, he's saying, right, obviously he holds like Rabbi Shimon. And so even though he holds like Rabbi Shimon, he says that the child born, as long as it looks a little bit like the mother, is allowed. So you see, you don't need the child to look mostly like the mother for it to be allowed to be eaten, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara then again rejects this answer. Haitana, maybe Rabbi Yoshua, Savala Kavasi Bachada. He holds like Rabbi Shimon in one way, that if you have two cows giving birth to a cow with connected hooves, it's not kosher. It's called tameh. But he disagrees with him about another matter.
Rabbi, how do they have an argument about whether the chaya and the pema can, you know, procreate or not? Wouldn't they have, like?
Yeah, it's a good question. They should be testing that. Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty straightforward.
On the what?
They should just test it.
That's the argument of the koi.
Right, but how could you have an argument? Well, you can argue what is a koi, but how could you argue about whether the biology is possible? Just go test it in a farm.
So not every time you mate them, they actually, you know, they get pregnant. You never know. It's like humans. They can check for years.
Right, which seems hard to think that they had such an argument when...
It's scientific. It's a factual argument. Is it possible or not possible?
Okay, so again, we have this brisa, where we had an argument between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yeshua says the verse only permits a sheep, the child of two sheep. Rabbi Lezer says, no, the verse is coming to say more. Even if you have a sheep, a child of a non-kosher father with a sheep, it's also kosher. So now the Gemara asks, the Maimer, does this seem to say, Rabbi Lezer suffer zev zegorim mutter, when you have a non-kosher father and a kosher mother. So you have two causes, one cause being no good, one cause being good, it's allowed. And Rabbi Yeshua Savar Zev is a Gori Maser. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that no, that when you have two causes, one being a non-kosher, one being kosher, it's not allowed. V'epcha Shamina Luhu, but we learn the exact opposite, because we have a Braisa. Vlad Trefa. Let's say an animal, which is a trefa, gives birth, with the father being healthy. Rabbi Lezer says you can't bring it as a carbon. Because since the mother is a trefa, it was created by the mother and the father. Zev is a gorim is aser. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, you can bring it to the mizbeach. He owes Zev is a gorim is mutter. So you see, Rabbi Yeshua is the opposite. He owes Zev is a gorim is mutter. So Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Lezer normally, namely in Karbanos, holds when you have two causes, one of them being no good, the child is no good. But over here it's different. Dim king, because if you're going to say that the child of a non-kosher father with a kosher mother is not kosher, then I have a problem. The Pasuk should have just said, sex avim v'izim. Why se selamli? Why does it keep saying the word se? Sex of him, and then again se izim. It's to teach me something. And as we said, it's not to teach me something which is pretty logical, that two kosher parents make a kosher child. It must be to tell me something novel. That one kosher, one non-kosher also makes it kosher. Shmamina. That's how I know semi-kol makel. Any type of sheep, even if it only has one kosher parent, namely a kosher mother, it's still kosher. Rabbi Yeshua Melech Rabbi Yeshua will tell you Ba'alma Zev is a Gorim Mutter. Normally I do say Zev is a Gorim is allowed, namely in regards to Karbanos. But over here, I said it's not allowed, because Im Kain, if it would be allowed, Lichtov Kra, the Pasuk should have just said Sek Hesev Va'ez, a sheep of sheep or goat. Ksavim, why does it say Ksavim? The plural tense, Izim, goats, the plural tense. Lamli, what do I need that for? Shnamina, the fact that it said both sheeps and goats is to say, Achei aviv keves v'imo kivsa. Has to be that both the father and the mother are sheep. Both the father and the mother are goats. Okay, so again, let's go back to the original question. The original question was, Rabbi Shimon holds, if you have two cows giving birth to a camel, that camel is not kosher. And we saw the Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham say, if you have two cows that give birth to a camel, but the majority of this camel and the head of this camel look like a cow, then it is kosher for Bechor. What would Rabbi Shimon hold in terms of eating? So Tashma, come in here, proof. We learned in a Braiser, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, if you have a horse coming from, I'm sorry, you have a camel coming from cows, since it says gamal shnei pa'amim, since it says camel twice, echad gamal anolad min ha-gamal, one is to say that you can't eat a camel from camels, echad gamal anolad min ha-para, the other time it said gamal, to tell me you can't eat a camel, the child of cows. However, v'im rosh over rubo doma le'imo, but if the head and most of the body are like the mother, then mutter b'achila, then you are allowed to eat it. Shnamina, so you see from here, la'achila nami, that also in regards to eating, boy Rabbi Shimon requires rosho v'rubo, the head and the majority. So it's not that if it has one simen like its parents, the cows, it's permitted. It would have to be head and majority. Shmamina, that is, in fact, a good proof. Okay, so now we finish with the laws of Rabbi Shimon. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Yeah, please, a question.
Yeah, no, it's just a comment, but just remember it. Yeah, maybe it's a factual argument whether you can do it or not, but today you can definitely do it.
To what?
Yeah, so when you read the Shulchan Aruch that discusses in your idea, not the Yitzimina Tawar Tameh, not this Halacha, we have a situation where you have a hybrid.
Yeah.
In Resh Tzadik Zayin, he doesn't say, he only says on a positive. In other words, hybrid is okay if both parents, you can eat the hybrid or get benefit, if both parents are kosher. He doesn't say the other way around. And all the poskim understand the other way around is not kosher. But the reason he doesn't say the other way around is because halacha is that factually you can't do it. Because halacha is like...
you can't test, you're saying.
No, that...
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. The koi is a bria b'fnei atzma. That's the way the Rosh is put. Everybody rules that way. It's not a hybrid. But the reason he didn't say the other way around, because scientifically it's maybe possible in the future. It's fascinating. It's like they envisioned that it would be doable.
That's right.
And that's why he wrote only on the positive. Two are kosher, and then
very nice.
But he did not want to say factually you can't do it.
Very
therefore,
nice.
It's okay. He never said that.
Very nice.
So it's,
yeah. So the Mishnah gave its rule, right? The Mishnah says hayotzei min hatameh, tameh. What comes out of the non-kosher is non-kosher. Hayotzei min hatzor, what comes out of the kosher is tor, is kosher. So boy, minei mirav sheshes. They had a question from Rav Sheshes. Meraglayim shel chamor mahu. Are you allowed to drink urine of a donkey? Is the urine of a donkey kosher or not? Now, it gets into the question of how do you understand urine? Is urine just water in, water out? Just runs through the animal? Or maybe urine changes through the animal. The water comes in, then it becomes animal stuff in it. So now urine is something else. And it's yotzei min hatzamah. So the Gemara says, why is this only a question about a donkey? Why don't you ask the question about horses and camels? Why do you only talk about the urine of a donkey? What about the urine of horses and camels? Same question, is that yotzi min ha'asur or not? So the Gemara says, no, this is m'gmalim b'yaluhu. There's no question about horses and camels. The lo achiri, the urine of the horse and the camel is clear. It's not in any way cloudy. So it's not like milk. Because my enough, look, it's water in and water out. It's kosher. The question that they had in the yeshiva was the chamor, the urine of a donkey. Because that's cloudy. So it looks like it's milk. So Maya, what's the law? Do we say that this is like the milk of a camel? The milk of a camel is some item that comes from the camel. We saw the question, right? Milk maybe is blood that becomes milk. So milk is some aspect of the camel that's being secreted. So is the urine of the donkey, which is also cloudy, does that cloudiness show that there's donkey stuff in it? They're parts of the donkey secreted into the urine? Or maybe no, urine is urine. And therefore, just like urine of a horse is allowed, because it's just water in, water out, maybe the urine of a donkey is just water in, water out. Here's the question. Migufe kamimtsitsi. Is it the cloudiness of the urine of the donkey? Because there's some parts of the body that are secreted out. They're squeezed out into the urine. Vasiwi, so then it's yotzim and asr. It's what comes out of the prohibited. It's prohibited. Or dimor, maybe my ulmaya nafik. It's just water that came in and water's coming out. So why is it cloudy? Vahidachiri. Havla de bistro. Because of the heat of the meat. The heat of the meat that the urine travels through. The organs of the donkey made it cloudy. But really, it's just water. This is the question that they asked Rav Sheshes. Amalu Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said to them, Knitua, there's a Mishnah about it. Our Mishnah says, Shayotzim and Atame Tame, Vayotzim and Atar Atar. For whatever comes out of the non-kosher is non-kosher, whatever comes out of the kosher is kosher. So, let's listen to the Mishnah. Shehayotze minatame. So the Mishnah didn't say mitame lo kame. The Mishnah didn't say shayotze mitame. Ela minatame. Minatame. So anything comes out minatame. Whatever comes out of the non-kosher. It doesn't say what comes from the non-kosher. What is secreted from the non-kosher. Whatever comes from the non-kosher. Harinami minatame. These things too maybe are included, and therefore they are prohibited. Ikadami, another version of this discussion. The Bnei Yeshiva never had a question about urine of horses and camels, lo shasi inchi, because people don't drink that. They had a question about the urine of donkeys. We miss Baruch here. They used to drink the urine of donkeys. They used to eat it.
Because of
jaundice. Because of what? Jaundice. When the liver doesn't work well, so the face can turn yellowish in a baby or greenish. So when there's that problem of a greenish face, this was something which would heal it. The urine of donkeys. Urine of the donkeys helps for jaundice. So since people were drinking it for jaundice, so now the question is... Okay, good. So that's the question. Is it kosher or not? So Amalehu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said to them, Tanitua, we have a Mishnah that resolves your question. It says, Hayotzi minatame, tame. Hayotzi minatar, tar. Aninami mitame kasra. It says, anything that comes out of the tummy. This also comes out of the tummy. Therefore, it's not kosher.
Okay, it sounds like it doesn't matter that it's a medicine.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Apparently, medicines that are edible are treated as edible. Presumably it's not a cholesh yesh basakana, because a cholesh yesh basakana, of course, he could do anything. He can save his life.
I know that the Rambam, I remember that the Rambam says any meraglim is okay.
Oh.
Of any animal.
Even of the donkeys. That's how he passes. So against the Gemara.
The Shulchan Aruch writes, I think, only of the donkey. I forgot. It's Resh Tzadik Zayin. It's Pei Aleph. It's in that section.
Simin Resh Pei Aleph? In Shulchan Aruch?
It's Pei Aleph. It's in there. It's the same siman of the honey and everything else. They make a distinction between the Rambam rules everything, the Rama brings him on the
where is it?
Usually here they have the halacha.
Pay out, Dharma Yotzim and Atame. Kalayotzim and atzamei tzamei, says the Shulchan Aruch. Chalav behema v'chaya tzmeya, the milk of a non-kosher animal, o treifa, the milk of a treifa, v'tziro meragle, asurim kibasar, or her urine is prohibited. V'yesh mishamati b'meragle, some, namely the Rambam, Sefalov, says it's allowed if it's urine. Avol meraglaim d'adam l'divya kol mutar. Everybody agrees you're allowed to drink human urine. Mishnah halacha hey mei ragli behema v'chaya tzahorim, the urine of kosher animals, v'chalav u'mei chalav shalahem mutter, and the milk is also allowed. V'edin le'mei mei chalav shalahem v'yesh misha osir b'zeh.
That's the main thing that people actually drink, and it's okay to drink it.
Yeah.
It's truthful.
Yeah.
But if it's union, it's okay for everything.
So now the Gemara challenges Reb Sheshes. If he says anything that comes out of a non-kosher is non-kosher, even if it wasn't secreted from the non-kosher. Meisve, they challenged Reb Sheshes. We learned in a brayse, v'pnei ma'amru dvash dvorim mutter. Why did they say that the honey of bees is kosher? Doesn't make sense, right? The honey of bees is yotzei min atzamei. Bees are not kosher, so why is what comes out of them also kosher? The Brisa explains, because really it's the nectar that the bee puts into its body. And they don't really do anything to it. It's not that they have secretions going into it. It just comes right out. So something which comes right through is okay. So if that's the case, urine also comes right through. Answer the Gemara. Rav Sheshes, Hudamar, Rav Yaakov. He has another explanation. Not that he holds that what comes right through is kosher. He says, no, if you have water coming through the non-kosher animal, it's not kosher. If you'd have nectar coming through a creature, it's also not kosher. The reason why honey of bees is kosher, like Rabbi Yaakov said, Damar duv sh'rachman ha-shariyeh, Hashem has explicitly permitted it. So since the Torah permits bees, that bee honey, you're allowed to eat it, even though it's coming from bees which are not kosher. Normally what comes from a non-kosher animal is not kosher. No matter what it is, even if it's not secreted, even if it's just a pass-through, it becomes not kosher. But bees may not, we don't believe that bees is a pass-through. We believe that the bees do something to the nectar to make it into honey. But even so, there's a special pasuk to permit it. The Tanya, as we learned in a braiser, the pasuk says, Ach ezet tochlu mikol sheretz ha'of. Just this you may eat from all the crawling, flying things. This is something you can eat, the grasshoppers. You know how to eat the shratzim of non-kosher birds. Sheretz of tamei be'ediksiv. So one second. Sheretz of tamei psukim esel tishaktim in a oaf. Ellis, what does it mean? What's Rabbi Yaakov trying to say? Sheretz of tamei yatzochel. You can't eat the sheretz of tamei. You can't eat the flying thing that's a rodent, namely the bee. Aval atzochel masho of tamei mashritz. But you're allowed to eat what the non-kosher flying thing secretes. Veza, what's that? Zedvash dvorim. That's the honey of bees. Now, what about the honey of hornets? What about Yachal Aft Vash Agazin Vatsirin? Sirin is hornets, and gazin, they say, is a type of locusts. So what about the honey of locusts and hornets? So are you allowed to eat that? No, Amritlo, that not. Well, my Roisla Rabbis Tvor Melozi Agazin Vatsirin. So why do you say that the honey of bees is okay, but the honey of hornets is not okay? Marbani Dvash Dvorim Shein Lo Shein Levi. The answer is because the honey of bees is just called Dvash. But I exclude the honey of hornets because it's always called honey hornet's honey. So since it's called hornet's honey, it has the non-kosher bird attached to it. Since it has the non-kosher bird in its name, then therefore it's not allowed. Okay.
What does that mean? So if you see this in the store, it says bee honey, that's a problem? Whereas if it just says honey, it's okay?
No. Bee honey is okay because in Hebrew, in Torah language, it's called dvash. This in Torah language we call dvash tzirin. So dvash tzirin is not allowed. Torah is permitting something. Ach is that. Just something. Something's being permitted. So what is that? Sage just said what's being permitted is just the dvash. But nothing which is called dvash tzirin.
I'm presuming that's somewhere else written in the Torah, the dvash tzirin or whatever.
Oh, it's probably included in this rule of ayotzim and asr. What comes out of the asr is prohibited. Kiman azla detanya. Who does the following braisa follow? The braisa says dvash agazin vatsirin tor umutr ba'achila. This braisa says the honey of hornets and of locusts is not tamei. It doesn't become tamei with tumas ochman. You can eat it. So look, Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, that's against Rabbi Yaakov. As we just said. All right, so this braisa holds dvash gazim v'tzaron is tohor. It doesn't become tameh because it's not a food. Alma boy machshav. You'd have to think about it in order to make it a food, and then it could become tameh. Before you thought about it, it's not a food. It doesn't become tameh. But it sounds like honey of bees, even without thinking about it, already can become tameh. Taina miyach yoslin din a braisa like this. Dvash bechavarto. Let's see, you have honey still in the honeycomb. That can become impure, even without thinking about it. So you see again that the honey of bees is different from the honey of hornets. Honey of bees is a food right away. The honey of hornets, you'd have to think about it to make it into a food. Yeah, it has to be washed and then touched with the dead sherets. All right, so I'm going to need some help here, David, from the art scroll. Hani chali diyachmurta. So these are some type of...
He says that the yachmur is actually unknown. Presumably it's from the deer family.
So the chali of yachmurta. So
chunks
of what?
Fallow deer.
Fallow deer. What's a fallow deer?
Fallow deer.
Sperm that went in and nothing happened. This comes out. That's what it explains. It looks like eggs, but it's not really eggs.
It looks like eggs.
Rashi says it refers to matter similar to eggs that the fallow deer excretes from her womb. The sages say initially thought that these were testicles of the male that detached
in the act
in the womb.
Right.
And therefore are forbidden to be consumed because they're considered a limb from a living animal. Rabbeinu Gershom Meir HaGola explains that the sages understood these were the ova of the fallow deer, and they are therefore forbidden, as only eggs of a kosher bird is permitted by the Torah.
All right, so again, Hani Chali di Yachmurta, there were these, let's call it circles. Circles of the Yachmur. Okay? Circles of the Yachmur. The rabbis thought that these were testicles. These were the testicles of the male that had, when the male had intercourse with the female, the testicles detached. And therefore they're not allowed because it is Eiver Menachai. It's limbs of a living animal that detached. That's what they thought. Amar Rav Safra said these rabbis are wrong. They're not true. These are not the testicles of the male that detached. These are Zara d'ayalahu. This is just the semen of the deer. Ta'azir basal ayalta. The male ayal was pursuing the female ayala. The ayala we know as a very, very narrow womb. So therefore, lom is dakika. It's painful for her because she has such a narrow womb. She didn't want to be with him. Va'azel basar yachmurta. So he went to the yachmur instead of to the ayala. Vinatri. And what came out... What came out was semen, and the semen hardened into these spheres. And that's already considered permitted. That's not an organ of a living creature. That's permitted.
It's like the whole concept is like pirusha, right? The same thing I learned with with that milk that we found in the calf's stomach. We say it's pirusha. It doesn't matter if it's tereh, it doesn't matter if it's... The whole concept, it's pure shite, it's not really...
Yeah. It's the seed of the... But it's, all, you know, it's from a kosher animal. It's from the ayal.
Yeah.
The deer anyway is kosher. So what comes out of the kosher is kosher. So they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what these circles were. And they were told, these circles are not what you think you are. You think that this is a testicles that detached. It's just semen that... Not even a semen of this type. It's a semen of another type that's here.
There's no question to batli shaketsu in all of this. We're not supposed to eat something that's
gross,
right?
Good point, right.
This is all these, unless you have a reason to actually eat this for a health reason, 99.9% of the population would say it's about the shaketsu.
I wonder if people view that way. I mean, we would feel that today, but I know that there were times that they used to eat the testicles of animals, brains.
Today they eat it. Guti Rishon, Rav Yerushalmi has testicles of...
They used to eat it all over, don't
they? Yeah.
That's not long ago. 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Even in Yerushalmi, Guti Rishon, must be Rav Yerushalmi.
The eye, the brain, all the parts.
Yeah.
Rav
Yerushalmi,
we call it.
Yeah. Amar Rav Huna asked the following question. Or Abba Kineged Panav Shel Chamor. So what is this? It's like some type of a skin?
The skin that comes opposite the face of the newborn donkey.
So in other words, it's the placenta, right? That's coming out with the donkey.
Yeah, placenta.
So Mutter, it's allowed. My timer, why is this skin allowed? Pirsha ba'almahu. It's something on its own. It's not considered part of the body of the donkey. Amal Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said to Rav Huna, Tanya de Masailach. We have a braisa that's like you. It says explicitly, Ora ba keneged panav shel adam. The skin that comes opposite the newborn boy. Bein chai ben meis. Whether that child is alive or dead, tahor, that skin is tahor. It's not considered kazayas min hameis. My love, doesn't it mean to say, bein hu chai v'imo chaya, whether the child is alive and the mother's alive, bein hu meis, or if the child is dead, v'imo meis, and the mother is dead. Because apparently this is not considered part of the mother, it's just considered pure shabalma, some detached element. So no, maybe not. Bein hu chai v'imo meisa. You can see the Bryce is saying like this. This skin is permitted whether the child is alive and the mother is dead. Bein hu meis v'imo chaya. Or if the child is dead and the mother is alive. And the skin is permitted because it comes from both of them. And since it comes from both of them, it's not considered aver min hameis or skin min hameis. It's not considered or min hameis, skin from the mace, because they're not both dead. But it's not really a proof to this question of eating from the donkey. So Rav Chisda said back to Rav Huna, Va'atayna, but didn't we learn a braisa? Bein hu chai v'imo chaya, bein hu meis v'imo meisa. So it's sounding like whether he's alive and his mother's alive, or whether he's dead and his mother is dead, and no matter, even if he's dead and his mother is dead, the skin of this human is permitted because the skin is considered something detached. It's not really part of the person. So Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, Tanya, if we have a braisa that says it explicitly, then that would be the case also with donkey. The placenta of a donkey is not considered the donkey. It's like the hair of the donkey. It's detached from the donkey. Therefore, it's permitted.
Does our mission tell us if it comes out of the minotamah?
Apparently, it's not considered coming out. It's considered some other element that has... It's like urine. It's like an other element that's in
Pirsha.
It. It's detached. It's detached. And it's a detached item. It came from it, though.
It was created by the donkey.
Right.
Exactly. That's all that it was created by the donkey.
It's attached to the stomach wall of the mother, right?
It was attached, and then it detaches. Yeah. It is a chiddush that there is such a thing as pirsha.
At least in the case of the bees and the water, there's an item external that comes in.
Yeah.
You're saying it's that item. This is...
Yeah, this is detached. It is a chiddush. Okay, thank you very much.